is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy, the global economy. I welcome Elizabeth Peake, column at The Hill, column at Fox News, much on Fox Business. The headline in the Wall Street Journal is promising. Inflation eased to 4% in May, still well above Fed target. Core prices remained elevated. Liz, a very good evening to you. This is better than expected, narrowly, but in any event, the direction is all. The Federal Reserve's mission, we're told, is to return us to 2% annual inflation. 4% is clearly not there, but it's way better than it was a year ago at 9% plus. And the Federal Reserve is meeting today, and on Wednesday, we'll have a statement from Jerome Powell about the vote of the governors. At this point, do you expect the Fed, conventional wisdom, to pause in June and pick up the gavel again in July? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yes, I think that's the most likely outcome, partly because probably it's warranted, John. We've had a year of incredible rate increases, most aggressive since the 1940s, and also coincident with that, substantial shrinking of the Fed's balance sheet. And I think the Fed wants to see how that is impacting the economy. I mean, we know the economy has slowed, but it's not in recession. The question is, with this year lag that everyone attributes monetary policy to, is there more to come in terms of the slowdown? And remember, something that isn't discussed enough, I think, the Fed is very aware that because of the rate hikes and because of the bank failures earlier this spring, there has been substantial credit tightening. In fact, the Journal, I think, has a front page article about that today. Banks are not lending as freely as they were, and that has negative consequences for growth. The other thing that's going to happen in the next couple of quarters is that the student loan hiatus presumably goes away. People are going to have to start paying their student loans, which is going to be a hiccup for the economy. So I think the Fed, Jay Powell in the last meeting said there was an equal chance of overdoing the tightening as underdoing it. Whereas, as you remember, up till then, he had been all on the side of we cannot afford to step away from this tightening cycle. We cannot afford to let inflation really take root. The only thing I'd say about the CPI number, certainly we have seen progress, and thank heavens for that. And as you say, the headline number was better than expected. What is interesting is a lot of that is lower oil prices. I mean, to be really optimistic that that holds going forward, you have to be optimistic that oil and gas prices stay quite low. And there are some reasons to be skeptical of that. Number one, a lot of that lower energy price is because China is simply not recovering from its COVID shutdown the way it was meant to. Everyone expected their growth to rebound just as it did in the US and Europe. It really hasn't happened. Obviously, China is a huge consumer of energy. So that is one underlying factor causing oil prices to be weak. The second one is that apparently Russian supplies have come back on stream better than expected. But number one, I wouldn't count out China recovering. The government in the last couple of days has announced various stimulus measures that they're willing to take. Asian markets were up on that. I think that could work, and maybe Chinese demand begins to come back, and then that would bolster energy prices. And don't forget that Saudi Arabia is really intent, with the help of OPEC Plus, of driving supply down. So anyway, just a cautionary note that that headline number certainly did get better in the last month. And I just would caution that it may not stay there. But there are a couple of really good things that have happened. One, wages have not really spiraled out of control. That came through in the numbers. But just as in England, that persistent increase in wages is definitely a factor supporting, as you say, inflation substantially above 4 or 2%. I would draw your attention to two numbers here. Food at home only rose 0.1% month to month. Food away from home is up almost 50 basis points compared to the prior month. And, you know, what that tells me is that there is an underlying push from wages. And I think that unfortunately means that inflation is not going to go to 2% anytime soon.
Justin Layard for the Wall Street Journal. We're all looking for silver lining, Liz. And he seeks one in the Labor Department's measure of shelter costs. He writes, one reason why inflation readings remain so high is that the Labor Department's measure of shelter costs, which account for about a third of its consumer spending basket, keeps rising. It was up 8% from a year earlier in May. Exclude shelter, and overall consumer prices would have been up just 2.1%, with core prices up 3.4%. Shelter, I'm presuming, means housing costs and rental costs.
Yep.
That's awfully specific. And and seeing that moderate is not far-fetched.
No. And that, I mean, that is definitely a reason to be optimistic that for, you know, forward-looking numbers, the numbers that we'll see in the next couple of months could get better, because it's been pretty well documented in a lot of areas that the costs are, the rental costs are still going up, but they're going up at a decelerating pace. Excuse me. And in some areas, they actually have come down. So yeah, he's right. That was a big element in this core number. And it, and I think there's a good chance that it'll get better, which is good news.
And in addition, that the shelter costs are vulnerable to the inflation, are vulnerable to the rate rise. And if inflation moderates, the rate rise will moderate. Well, you see, I'm just saying it's a circle.
Yeah, sure.
And rents and housing depend upon what the Federal Reserve does. When it raises a quarter point or a half a point, rents and housing costs go up.
Well, they do, although the other side of the coin is when you raise mortgage rates, prices tend to come down because people can only afford so much. And we actually, again, we have sort of seen that in some indices too. Housing is at kind of all over the place right now. And part of it is that there's a constrained supply, which has meant that prices have stayed higher for longer. But without a doubt, the shelter number has been a real problem for the Fed. And I think it is going to get better. Again, sort of, you know, driving inflation right now, excuse me, continues to be wages, shelter. And I'm worried that in coming months, it will come back to being energy, because I just am not sure we're out of that cycle yet.
I agree with the energy costs, because OPEC is a player. Russia's a player.
Yeah.
And also, we have another winter to get through. The Ukraine war has not been solved, and they're all forward-looking. I want to turn to the markets, however. The markets have been bearish for 248 days, Liz. That's the longest bear market, I think, since right after the Second War. Now they're declaring a bull market. Do you trust it?
I think it's the most unloved bull market of our lifetime. No one really trusts it. For one thing, it's been so narrow. You've heard a lot of chatter in the last few weeks about how it's really seven stocks driving the indices. More recently, it has broadened out a little bit. You know, John, there's been so much uncertainty about what the impact of the Fed hikes is going to have on the economy. You can't really talk about the market without talking about earnings. People are just all over the place. In fact, I was reading an article in the last day or two about the dispersion of estimates of things like the growth rate, the S&P earnings for the remainder of the year, et cetera. It's huge. People have really very little confidence in their forecasts. And as a result, there has been a tendency to crowd into those stocks which kind of govern their own future. I mean, in other words, companies like Apple, which can create demand for products by creating a new product. I mean, that's a very appealing concept when the whole overall shape of the economy is as murky as it is today. So I think there's a reason why we've had such narrow leadership. If people begin to see the Fed, and we'll know much more tomorrow maybe about what Jay Powell says, if the Fed begins to talk about a cessation of rate hikes, that we're kind of there, if they interpret these CPI numbers and tomorrow PPI numbers as being a job well done, and now we can kind of go back to status quo, then I think you're going to have a lot of people sharpening their pencils. I've already seen one economist begin to raise their GDP forecast for the rest of the year just because we have not seen a big hit. But that same economist continues to warn that everything looks fine until it isn't. And what he means by that is that in past cycles, employment continued to be strong, job market continued to be strong, and then all of a sudden those higher interest rates kick in and the economy just does a dead stop. And it's an unpredictable timing, but it's still conceivably out there.
The behavior that I observe, this is nationally and internationally, is not for bad days ahead. It's for weathering the days we're in. That's a profound influence. You know, when a recession's coming, everybody gets gloomy and puts their credit cards away. That's not happening, Liz.
Well, you're right. And I think the biggest reason is, again, because the job market so far has been pretty strong. I mean, there's signs of weakening around the edges. Unemployment claims are going up, et cetera. But so far, the job market's been strong enough, John, that people are confident that they can get a job. And that is a huge determinant of spending. And there still is some of that excess spending. Maybe we're down to $500 trillion now, or maybe $250 billion, whatever the number is, left over from the COVID relief payments. But that has been a substantial cushion underpinning spending. And we've seen it. Now, tomorrow, I think we got a retail sales number. It's going to be very interesting to see. And by the way, I'm looking at credit card data all the time that suggests consumers actually are pulling back. But it seems very intermittent. A lot of the job increases and wage increases is at the lower end of the income spectrum. You know, let's face it, the biggest number of jobs added has been things like hospitality and, you know, restaurants still can't hire people. So those jobs are good and wages are really gone up in that lower end of the income spectrum. So there's a lot of reasons why spending has held up. Let's hope it continues.
Liz Peek, she writes a column for The Hill and a column for Fox News. We're going to turn to the Republican Party politics of the moment next. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.